Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm Jan Petterzelka.
Jan, you remember the good old days when you used to be able to get from the west side of El Paso to the east side of El Paso in 20 minutes flat?
Absolutely. Coming from Las Cruces, it was an outing.
Right.
But you didn't have to travel so long. You could just get to where you were going.
And now we have construction. We have more
people. Oh, my goodness.
We have the east side that used to be called the east side that is now I kind of shifted more into east central.
East central. I live in East Central now.
Yeah.
Not on the far east side.
But you didn't move.
No, I didn't move.
The city
moved.
They did. Yeah, the city moved.
In all directions.
Right, exactly. And we know if you ever drive up in these outer line areas of El Paso, you'll see that there's houses going up galore.
Everywhere.
And you start thinking, gosh, there's a potential to be able to educate folks on native plants and why did those developers scrape that entire native vegetation? I mean, would it kill them to save a couple of little creosote bushes? That kind of don't do very well in transplanting, but you could kind of mark them and keep them up. But that's
build
just
a house around your landscape.
And there's a lot of beautiful established neighborhoods in El Paso that have that, you know, the neighborhoods were built around the native
landscape.
Yeah, exactly. But apparently they didn't get the memo.
Well, and it's my understanding that I have an in with a builder friend, and as builders, you have to put a certain amount of vegetation on these new properties. Why not use what's there when possible?
Because it's easier to put a postage size stamp in the most awkward lot in the housing development.
Sure.
It's easier for them. But the reason why we kind of got off on this tangent is because we have a really special guest in the studio today, Mr. Jim Hastings from the Native Plant Society, as well as a member of the El Paso Cactus and Rock Club.
And the Master Gardeners.
And he's also a Master Gardener. Gosh, Jim, you have so many titles.
I'm excited to be here. Thank you for the invitation. And I call myself tripolar since I'm in all of these plant clubs. And I lean toward natives in all of them.
Oh, wonderful. And we also know that you do teach a class with the Master Gardeners and the El Paso Community College class, and you talk about native plants and adaptive trees and shrubs for our area.
Right. We want to show people that it doesn't have to be a yucca plant, a prickly pear, and a big rock. You can have a lush yard with native plants.
Right, exactly. And, you know, when you're out there lecturing, Jim, or giving a demonstration, you know, it's great. You have all these points you want to cover, but nothing beats visiting someone's home, someone's garden, and actually seeing all of these principles put into place.
Absolutely right. And son of a gun, this month, March 30th and 31st, the Cactus Club and the Native Plant Society are having our annual garden tour. This gives people a chance to visit home gardens, ranging from little postage stamps with cacti to an acre and a half garden that's been in progress for about 30, 35 years.
That's amazing.
So it's amazing to go out and see what people can do and talk to them about how they did it.
Xeriscaping for the past umpteenth decades now. And I think that really I see a trend going into sustainable landscaping. And I think that by bringing in your native plants complemented with cacti and succulents are adding to that sustainability is native to our area and what really is going to look beautiful and not just sticking a cactus in the ground.
Oh, absolutely. It's interesting. Look back a few billion years, you find out that our native plants and our native wildlife were created and evolved together, and so they work well. New homes, people gripe about tarantulas and snakes and all kinds of things. Well, we moved into their territory.
I was going to say they were there first.
They were, and they scoot on along, but now we're starting to wake up and learn what we can do with just a little extra water. We like to tell people that, we're putting gravel in our front yards, but why don't we try about 60% shade from either structures or plants or ground covers, because that reduces water consumption, that reduces electricity consumption by keeping things cool around the house. So,
and it
little
looks
tricks,
so much better.
We can learn. Oh, it does look. I mean, there, you can have blooms all year long with a little bit of homework, choosing plants that work when and where. We're very good at growing rock here, which is why we build fences out of it instead of out of lumber, which we don't grow. And it collects heat, it radiates it back, and that has repercussions all around.
It does.
One of the things that I really enjoy about a native for landscaping with a lot of cacti in there is that it makes you want to stay, because it's not something that's just going to look beautiful as you drive by or just kind of whisk by on there. You really can see that beauty popping up of looking at the individual cacti or the way the spines are growing, the colors to that, and also the year-round interest, I think, is really, I mean, when you have those claret cup cactus blooming, I mean, you got to take out your cameras, your phones, snap all those pictures, because that's a once-a-year event. But soon thereafter, something else is popping up into bloom. And I think that's really the great thing to work with a cacti enthusiast, is that they know exactly which plants are going to make it and which plants are going to work and give you a really spectacular bloom.
That's true. And we selected our date this year because we had a mild winter until spring came, and then it turned bad. But it looks like we're going to have an early bloom out. So we're hoping that we'll have cactus in bloom during the tour in a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. The poppies are already blooming in the Northeast, and I hope they're still blooming at Poppy Fest time.
Right?
Yes.
If not, you come to my yard, because there's a little native plant called dogweed or Dysodia, and I have a dogweed festival every spring, matter what the weather is.
Well, you can come to my house, and hopefully we'll have some California red poppies in the next couple. My first one bloomed yesterday.
Wonderful.
And I know the neighbors think, why don't you, you're a gardener, why don't you get those weeds out of there? They're not weeds,
they're
neighbors.
Not weeds.
They are going to be beautiful show of red poppies. So,
oh, yes.
And the gold ones are all over town right now. They're so pretty, popping up in different yards.
Well, we've tried to make our tour accessible to everybody by having a two-day event. So on the west side, we'll have 6 gardens open on Saturday.
Okay.
And then we will do 5 gardens on the central and northeast side of town on Sunday. And it's a bargain. We are trying to recover our production expenses, not to make a lot of money on this. It's about showing people what beauty can happen with a little forethought in here.
And tell us a little bit about how to get more information on how to show up randomly. How do I get in touch with the El Paso Cactus and Rock Club?
The easiest way to do it is to go on Facebook. You don't have to be a member to access it.
Okay.
Facebook, El Paso Cactus and Rock Club, or... you're going to laugh at this, El Paso Chapter of the Native Plant Society of New Mexico on Facebook. We affiliate with New Mexico because we look like New Mexico and act like New Mexico, not like Austin or San Antonio or Houston. So.
Right.
Our sister city.
our plant palette is just a little bit different from the rest of Texas.
Back east, they've got this funny stuff called black dirt and and rain and stuff we're not familiar with. And acidic soil, we have alkaline soil. It's a different world.
It is a different
in
world.
In fact, Master Gardeners have a handbook, and our first chapter in the handbook is, where the heck are we?
Right.
Because even in El Paso, there are 5 different climate zones to consider when you're planning your landscape.
Oh, my goodness. You know, just driving around town, you'll be able to see those. And you look at those little pockets. I mean, I see citrus growing all the time.
Oh, that's impossible. It's but right. I can show you where the grapefruit tree produces.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. I see it all the time. There's little niches. So definitely. So how much is the entrance fee and what does that get you?
It's $5 per vehicle.
Okay.
And tickets are available at each garden. So you can start wherever you choose. And for the $5, you can rent a school bus and bring it full of people for $5. And it's $5 each day per vehicle, not per body count.
Okay. Now, Jim, if we show up to any one of these gardens on the tour, will there be stewards or folks kind of give us a little walking tour?
Well, our homeowners will be there, and we will have folks who are members of all 3 of our plant organizations who can help talk about the plants and how to handle them and how they handle you.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Makes a difference.
Yeah, definitely. And on some of these gardens, there's also a little extra treat, if you will. There's
two gardens have a bonus feature called a plant sale.
Oh, my goodness.
And so the house on Valplano on the west side is going to have locally propagated plants for sale and a few that were brought in that are cold and heat hardy because they were grown in our area not from Denver or Tucson or right. other places in here. And then on the northeast, on Titanic, we will have another plant sale.
Wonderful. So there's going to be a plant sale on both days at different locations.
Correct.
So take your time, tour the gardens, kind of pick out what you like, get maybe some inspiration. If there's folks that maybe want to do either have a new lawn or a new not just a lawn, but get rid of their lawn. They want to do some kind of conversion.
Excuse me for interrupting. We have one garden on the west side, which started out with a lot of grass.
Okay.
And the front yard has been xeriscaped. It's very simple. The backyard are cactus coming in, but they still have a patch of green grass.
Absolutely.
And it's okay to do that. You don't have to have a football field. A little green makes your body think it's 10 degrees cooler just by looking at it. But you can put the natives and the cacti around that and make it look great and just change the look of it a little bit.
And have that exactly. Have it work for you, right?
Work
for your wildlife. For just aesthetics, and yeah, of course. I have pets and kids, so I know that the importance of having
a little patch of grass.
Absolutely.
I live in the foothills on the east side. on the west side, excuse me. And this year, three deer visited my front yard. I've never seen them down that low before.
My goodness,
so
right?
You never know what's going to happen.
Right.
Gardening in El Paso.
Well, and I think the points that you make about the beauty of it and the ability, and this is a trend in gardening in general that you can, for instance, you can incorporate some of your greens, your lettuces and spinach into your ornamentals. So why not incorporate your native plants into, with other things, as long as they have the same soil requirements and water requirements and fertilizing requirements. Everything can grow together. It takes that planning and think outside the box a little bit.
I have about 60 cacti in my backyard. Some of them have to go in the garage in the wintertime, so they're in pots. But then I also have a rose bed, and I don't put the cactus and roses in the same bed. They just don't get along.
No, they don't. They're not happy together. I use a picture of your backyard in my presentation for container gardening with all your cacti. So, be careful, Jim. You're all around.
Right. And we hope that the garden tour inspires folks from our area to kind of get some ideas, hopefully, and inspire them to incorporate cacti, succulents, and a traditional green lawn all together, all at once, because it can happen. And we want to thank you, Jim, for showing up today and sharing this wonderful opportunity that's going to benefit the El Paso Cactus and Rock Club and the Native Plant Society of New Mexico, El Paso chapter. Don't make me say that again. We want to thank you for listening to today's show and thank Robert Lopez for engineering and producing Good to Grow. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm Jen Peterzelka.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden
good to grow.